verse 18 through to 20. Exodus chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. Reading in a hearing from the New King James Version, the Bible says, "So Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, 'Please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt, and see whether they are still alive.' And Jethro said to Moses, 'Go in peace.' And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, 'Go, return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead.' Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey. And he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand." This is the word of Almighty God. I speak to us today under the caption, "How to survive in Egypt." How to survive in Egypt. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for this, your holy Sabbath day. We thank you for taking us here safely this afternoon. And as about to feast upon your words, Almighty God, I cannot do it all by myself. I'm only your mouthpiece, so speak to and through me today. Father, we ask that when we would have listened, we apply wisdom to our lives. Transform us today, we pray. And may we be better men and women, fit for your kingdom. Speak to us. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. I want to begin this way upon signing the Declaration of Independence. Samuel Adams stated, "This day I trust the reign of political Protestantism will commence. The 56 signers were mostly Protestant, with a notable exception being Catholic, the man Charles Carroll of Maryland, New York University professor, Emery Katz, Patricia Benoni. In her article, she said, 'The Middle Colonies as the birthplace of American religious pluralism.' She wrote, 'The colonists were about 98% Protestant.' British statesman Edmund Burke addressed Parliament in 1775, and he said, 'All Protestantism is a sort of dissent, but religion most prevalent.' different religion. My brothers and sisters, Protestantism traces its origins to a Pope 31, 1517, when Martin Luther posted question 95 questions on the door of Wittenberg Church, summoned to stand trial before 21-year-old Emperor Charles V. Luther was declared outlaw. Frederick of Saxony hid him in Wartburg Castle, where he translated the New Testament into German. But the point that I like, that I want to use in this introduction, is when Luther said, while he was in Wartburg Castle, he said these words, "I am much afraid that schools will prove to be the great gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures and engraving them in the hearts of their youth." I looked at the topic, Christian education, saving our families through Christian education. Martin Luther said that if we are not careful, our schools will be the gates of hell. But we must learn how to teach our children the commandments of King Jesus. I looked at Ellen White. She said this in Christian Education, with a great work before us of enlightening the world, we who believe that truth should feel the necessity of thorough education and the practical branches of knowledge, and especially our need of education in the truth of the Scripture. May I say something here, friends, that Christian education is not merely about going to an Adventist high school. A Christian education starts from in the homes. We can't allow the teachers in public and private institutions to groom our children. We have to groom them all by ourselves. My brothers and sisters, error of every character is now exalted as truth. Come on, somebody. Error of every character is now exalted as truth, and it is our duty earnestly to search the sacred word, and that we may know the truth for ourselves. May I say here at St. John this afternoon, if we don't know the truth of God, we can't teach our children. My brothers and sisters, we have great faith in the system, but we need to have greater faith in ourselves. Are you walking with me? We, Ellen White says, we shall be called upon to make known the reasons of our faith. We shall have to stand before magistrates to answer for our allegiance to the law of Jesus Christ. The Lord has called us forth from the world that we may be witnesses for His truth. Yes. And His truth alone.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. All through our ranks, young men and young women should be trained for positions of usefulness and influence. they cannot be mere novices in education and in the knowledge of the Word of God, and to do justice to the sacred work to which they are appointed. May I say here today, when we see sometimes where our homes are becoming theaters, we must put a library. Mother Church, I'm going to say amen to that. But I'm preaching anyhow. Are you walking with me? We must ensure that our young people are rooted firmly and deeply in the scriptures. Hello, somebody. Am I talking to the church here? Too many times, my brothers and sisters of the family will be lost because we do not do what is right. The world will change. The girl will change. But I know a little. You can only bend that tree when it's strong. You can only bend a tree while it's strong. Because when the tree gets old, you can't bend that tree anymore. And that is why this morning is very much important for the people of God to understand that if we're the same old church, if we're the same old country or society, then Christian education must start from in the homes. There's a passage. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible says, "For the midwives feared God, and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the male children alive." So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." I want to go somewhere this afternoon. I hope I get preaching time. I want to let you know, friends, that there was a command right now, you know, that the children of Israel were living in Egypt for a very long time. But while they were growing, remember, when they got to Egypt, there were few in numbers. Come on, walk with me now, walk with me now. When they got to Egypt, there were few in numbers. The Egyptians were mightier and greater than they are. They were just a faithful few. But guess what? They started to multiply and they started to increase in popularity. And when the numbers started to grow, the Pharaoh had said to them that they are going to kill all the male child being born. May I let you know that when Pharaoh had made that command, as a matter of fact, the children grew even more. I want to tell somebody at some king stand on this morning, when the devil is against you, there's a God in heaven who's protecting your life. I'm always happy about one thing. I'm always happy about one thing. That those who are with me, come on, somebody. I said, those who are with me are greater than those against me. I want to let the church understand this morning that when we say Jesus, that Jesus will be by your side. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at us. It doesn't matter even if we live in Egypt, a God will spare our lives. Remember, we're talking today how to survive in Egypt. How to survive in Egypt. So look, my friends, they wanted all the male children to die. Sister, I'm not. Every single one of them to die. Because the Pharaoh, they understood that it was the males who were the sperm givers. My talking friends here. It was the males. So what they wanted to do was to kill off all the males. And by doing that, they would kill off an entire generation. But my God has said his word that he will be with his people until the very end of the world. There is something here. Doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you. Doesn't matter what the devil tries to do at you. If a God in Israel who will be by your side. I tell you something. You may not be able to see his work at all times. But my God loves to work with his. Come on, somebody. I said, my God loves to work behind the scenes. And when you get up and you meet a mountain in the very, and when you get up and you have hurdles so cross, and when you get up and you have valleys to go through, remember that there's a God who will go with you. I heard David say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He made me the lantern in green pastures. Or say to you, sir, that God will keep you. Or say to you, lady, that God will protect you. All you've got to do is to trust God.
Give me now.
Give me now. The midwives, I'm happy for them. Because look now. I'm struggling with this. But I believe that some of the babies, of the male babies, were already dead. Are you still here with me?
Yeah.
I am convinced that some of the male babies were already dead, but just maybe as a few died, the Holy Ghost got inside those midwives. Come on, somebody. We should talk to the right church here. I said, the Holy Ghost, I've got in those midwives, and when I'm running and hold the bell, the mother, and father of Moses, that I'm running, and I called her Jacobel. When they gave birth to that particular child, they gave birth to a child, but they understood that a child, they can't carry the child too long. The child is going to die. So guess what they did? The mother down the bulrushes, nice basket, placed the boy after he was about 3 months old, placed him in the basket to go down River Nile, because they can't allow Egyptians to see them. Remember, the midwives have killed the male babies. But look at verse 17 of chapter 1. The Bible says, but the midwives feared God. Yeah. Why, somebody? Yeah. I'm talking about in Egypt now. I walk with me. That the midwives were in Egypt. But even while they were in Egypt, they feared God. Tell somebody, tell something. The devil is going to cause us to be at some places at some times, but we know we don't need to fear. Wherever we are, we can stand up for Jesus Christ. Walk with him. And even if you're going through the fire, you can stand up for Jesus. You can call the three Hebrew boys as a prime example. They stood for Jesus, and Jesus delivered them out of the fire in Egypt. Stand for Jesus.
Amen.
They were midwives. So guess what now? The midwives were to kill the babies. But these two midwives, their names are Shiphrah and Puah. They allowed this child to go alive. They allowed this child to go alive. And when the mother couldn't keep the baby any longer, the baby was placed in a basket and allowed to go down the river Nile. And then Pharaoh's daughter, the Bible says, from Egypt, tell us that they went down by the river to have a shower. To have a shower, and they heard this baby crying. And so Pharaoh's daughter took the child as for her own. I want to let you know that if the midwives had killed that child, we wouldn't have a generation. Come on, somebody. Because the child that was placed in the basket was baby Moses.
Yeah. You are it.
Close. I'm getting somewhere.
Yes.
Because Moses was to be the deliverer of Israel. And I love the word of God. Moses was to save his father. Come on, somebody. God ordained Moses. And that's why I want to let you know, friends. That when God has placed ordination over your life, it doesn't matter who is against you, they can't stop God's blessings. I walk in the faith. When God ordains you for his mission and for his mercy, he doesn't care, my friends, how many haters you have behind you. And I tell you something, sometimes we even come inside the church and we have more haters than we can ever think. Holy Ghost. They won't approach you. They won't look like they're haters, but they're haters. Because they are hiding their true feelings. I know, there are many times that people have talked bad things about me, even church members. They sit and they gossip. But one thing I'm happy for is that there's someone else who is talking about me. His name is Jesus. Somebody. And when my name comes up in glory, I'm happy. The scripture says that we have an advocate. The Father. We have an advocate, the righteous Son. I'm happy, my friends, to know that we have a Savior who sits on the throne in glory. There is something. I am happy for Jesus.
Amen.
Because God was like man. Maybe I will be dead a long time. Amen. Hello, sir. I talk to the church. Say, God was like man. I will be dead a long time ago. But thank God for Jesus. Heal him. I want to go on. But something jumped in my mind a little bit. Because I remember when Jesus was placed on the cross, there were two thieves beside him, one on the right and one on the left. And the one who was condemned to die, the one who said, Jesus, remember me when thou goest in thy kingdom. If that man was in church today, people say that man is a murderer, that man is an outcast. But thanks to God that our past is behind us. I serve a God who doesn't use our past to judge us. Come on, somebody. I serve a God. The past is gone. The past is over. And Jesus is doing a new thing in Santa. He's a new thing in this part of the
Lord. Thank you.
The thief said on the cross,
Lord,
remember me. Remember me. The other one said, if you are the Christ, save yourself. But the other one said, Lord, I know we deserve to die. I know we deserve death. But my friend may not realize it. But even while you are on the cross, you are still the true and living God. Are you walking with me? When things seem rough, when things seem hard and difficult, all you've got to do is cry out at the feet on the cross and say, Lord, remember. Remember me. We're talking about how to survive in Egypt. How to survive in Egypt. And so friends, the boy was saved. He was saved to save his generation. Can I go a little closer? He was saved to save his generation. You know how he with me. Remember, we're talking about saving families through Christian education. Moses could have been killed. Moses could have been dead, but God protected his life because God knew that he wanted Moses to go back down there in Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But let me tell you something. Moses grew up in Egypt. He spent 40 years in Egypt. And after 40 years, Moses said, I'm leaving. Come on, somebody, look at me. Moses said, I am leaving. And Moses fled and went to a place called Midian. He went to Midian, and there, the Lord approached him at the burning bush right there. And that was the time when God called Moses. And God said, Moses, I'm sending you down to Egypt. And Moses looked at God and said to God, I am worthy to go down there. I know that they will not listen to me. God said, I am with you.
Thank you.
Let me tell you something. Moses grew up in Egypt, was educated in Egypt, but Moses didn't keep the education that he got in Egypt. I just said something.
Yes.
When Moses was in Midian, God educated Moses.
Come on, somebody.
And when Moses was in Midian, because before Moses got back to Egypt, he spent 40 years. It was at age 80 that Moses went back to Egypt. My brothers and my sisters, when God got Moses, Moses gave many excuses. Moses said, God, I can't manage at work. God said, I educated you, I taught you, and you will not be alone, because I will be with you. And Moses gave many excuses, and God shunned each of them. At one point in time, Moses said, God, I can't even talk. More, God said, I will allow your brother Aaron to speak for you, because God realized that it is Moses whom you wanted.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody, you don't get what I'm trying to say here. God has a blessing with your name on it. God has a breakthrough with your name on it. Come on, somebody. I don't care what you have been praying for many years. A God has sent me here to tell you this morning that the waiting years are over. Come on, somebody. And you've got to understand that God is getting ready to do a new thing in your life. God called Moses. He didn't want Aaron. He didn't want Miriam. He wanted Moses. He wanted Moses. And when Moses didn't want to go, God said, I have placed my blessings on your life. Go down there. God said to Moses, I know you'll face some good elders. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
So is that walking with me? God said to Moses, I know you'll face some of the elders. I know you'll face some black church members, but go anyhow, because I am with you.
Praise the Lord.
Talk to you.
Yes.
Can I talk to you?
Yes.
Don't worry about how tomorrow looks. Neither don't you worry about the criticisms that you will get. Don't worry about the negativity that people has about you. When God has chosen you, He will equip you. Let me tell you something. And it's not you again who is fighting the battle, but it's God who is fighting for you. And I serve a God, says the Bible, who has never lost a battle. Come on, somebody. I don't know if there's anybody here this morning or afternoon who wants to testify that there are days when you are low, there are days when you are hungry, there are days when you did not have much, but God.
Amen, Lord, thank you.
We serve a God who is always giving his people. But tell you something, doesn't matter which situation you find yourself in. Your situation today can be all the situation of Egypt. But remember that God will protect your life even while you are in Egypt.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank
you. Your names. You sit down. You wonder where the next meal will come from. I'm talking to the wrong group. I need to get back up here. There are nights you have gone to your bed and your pillow is soaked with liquid frustration. That's yours. You wonder, where is God? You wonder, where is God? But God is still working on somebody. God is still working out for somebody. I'm going to tell you something. If God saved Moses' life, He can save yours.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
But now, Moses returned to Israel, returned to Egypt, to fulfill the mandate that God had given to him. A mandate where he was called to take the children of Israel out of bondage. That was Moses' family. Hello? Moses, God gave him the required tools to take those children out of bondage. Moses was Israel's deliverer.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how long we have been in a particular condition. A time has come when God is saying, enough is enough.
I'm closing soon.
A time has come when God is saying, enough is enough. The devil has had his very good way. He has tried to kill you on the left side. He has tried to kill you on the right side. He caused your house to be broken. He caused you to lose your job. But in spite of difficulties, in spite of pain, in spite of desperation, we are happy today to know that God is
sit on the throne.
God will be with his people.
Yes, Father. Amen.
Moses was called to save Egyptians. But as I close, look carefully now. That there was a reason, Elder, for God wanted Moses' life to be spared. Because Moses prefigured Christ. I just said something. In other words, Moses was a type of Christ. I'm not keeping you longer here. I'm closing now, but I've got to let you know that just as how a Moses was called to be Israel's deliverer, and Jesus came to the world to be our Savior.
Oh God,
I'm closing. And Moses escaped being killed as a baby when the decree of Pharaoh had condemned all male infants to death. When Jesus came, he was condemned to kill. When God had condemned all males to die. Moses was not an Egyptian, but lived among many Egyptians. Jesus was not an Egyptian, but lived among many Egyptians. Come on, somebody. Oh God. Moses was raised with the legal right to become a king, but belonged to a nation, Israel, oppressed by a pagan and foreign government. Well, and Jesus was raised with the legal right to become a king, but belonged to Judah, Israel. I want to let you know that Moses had freed his people from slavery through a lamb without blemish, a male of the first year. But Jesus has freed his people from sin through his own blood. That's why the song says, there is a fountain filled with blood, a drawn from Emmanuel's name, and sinners can run the wheel of blood and lose all the guilty sins.
Amen.
I'm not done yet. Moses came out of Egypt. Jesus returned out of Egypt. I'm not just saying something here. As I come down to my closing moments, Moses passed through the Red Sea.
Yes.
But Jesus passed through the waters of baptism. I wish I'm talking to somebody here. Moses has spent 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus has spent 40 years in the wilderness. Moses has fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And Jesus has fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses has got the law from Mount Sinai. And you and I know that Jesus has gained the law from the Sermon on the Mount. And Moses died on Mount Nebo, but Jesus died on Calvary. Moses was Israel's deliverer, but Jesus is the Savior of the world. And he has my great son, and he can save you only in the trust in Almighty God. My brothers and sisters, how to survive in Egypt, just trust God.
Amen.
How to survive in Egypt, just serve God.
Amen.
Don't watch the negativity around you. Just serve God, because God will be with his people. Let me tell you something. You might have dark moments now, but light is coming on you. You might have pain now, but joy is coming one day. You might have problems now, but joy is coming one day. And here
the songwriter, when he said, I'll just over the mountains in the promised land, a rise a holy city, I built by God's own hand. I've got to tell you that Jesus will keep you. I've got to tell you that Jesus will bless you. I've got to tell you that you are what is mine. You're not a mistake, sir. You're not a mistake, lady. I don't care what they call you. You're God's child. And God will protect these people. God will be by you. I wonder, David said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth. When trouble comes, just lift up your eyes. When trouble comes, just lift up your eyes. And let you know that God will deliver.